In today's edition of Radio Theatre, we present Dark Victory, written by George Emerson Brewer Jr., adapted for radio by Yolande Dottman, and produced by Henry Diffenthal.
Steele.
What the hell is going on?
Now, don't start being cantankerous. It's not my fault. How the devil did I know she'd take it into her head to join the hunt?
Mm.
She shouldn't be riding at all. It took me ages to find her. She's just showering and changing now. When are you leaving?
Shortly.
When does your plane go?
1:30.
Can't you possibly take a later one?
No.
Why not?
The later planes don't make connections.
I'm going to ask you a favor. I want you to stay over and give this girl a thorough examination.
I can't. I'm leaving at 1:30.
Put it off a day.
Parsons, I've quit.
But what's one day?
Do you remember the day you were married? Well, this is my day of days. And when I leave here, I'm leaving a life that's over and done with, and I'm starting a new one. However, I have a few minutes, and if it's of any help to go over the case, fire ahead.
Ah. Have you read the history?
Yes, I have. But what's your diagnosis?
Oh, frankly, I don't know. But I do know the girl is desperately ill. She's got a persistent headache, and I've been watching her like a hawk, and she's losing ground every day.
Haven't you any line on it at all?
I can't put my finger on it. There's nothing to go by. I can't get anything out of her.
When talking?
No, no cooperation.
Is she usually irritable like this?
No, not ordinarily.
You say she's been having persistent headaches?
Yes, ever since the accident.
When did you first see her?
About an hour after she was thrown. She evidently rode home, had breakfast, and seemed all right. Then, apparently, she had a fainting spell.
Well, did she actually faint, or was she just very dizzy?
And I couldn't make out. She resented my examination and wasn't very explicit.
She a good horsewoman?
Oh, yes, the best.
Then why was she thrown?
Well, it was a queer sort of accident. You see, she and a chap named Ronnie McVicker were riding across country. They were making for an open gate. She was on his right. As they came near the gate, McVicker kept well over to the left to give her room. But instead of riding through the opening, she went head on for the fence, as though she hadn't seen it.
What do you mean?
McVicker said she held her horse straight for the fence about 6 feet from the opening. But naturally, the animal shied and threw her.
You're certain she was on his right side?
Oh, yes.
Why haven't you kept her in bed?
I've tried to.
What do you mean?
Oh, you don't know that girl. Yesterday she got up, went to lunch and the matinee, and then played contract all evening.
What matinee?
Your revival of Serrano, I think.
How long have you known her?
I brought her into the world. I looked after her father when he died.
I see. Well, on the whole, I think your best bet's to get in touch with Finley.
Finley's in Europe.
All right, then get Park.
I don't want Park or any of the rest of them. Damn it, they're no better than I am. I want you.
I only postponed my leaving for Scotland for a few hours as a gesture of esteem to you, my old friend.
Steele, you're always crying about the lack of human contact between doctor and patient. Well, there's humanity waiting for you in that room. You can't turn your back on it now.
Why should I upset my plans for some spoiled, undisciplined society young woman?
Because it's a doctor's business to cure sick people, because she'll die if you don't, and because I'm an old friend of yours, and I'm desperate.
Oh, very well. I'll do what I can. I can't promise anything. Could you manage the x-rays for me?
Yes, of course.
I may want to use it.
To make a diagnosis, I suppose.
Well, I think we're ready now.
Now, Steele, remember, she's a bit spoiled, used to having her own way. Oh, there you are, Judith. And may I introduce Frederick Steele, Judith Traherne.
How do you do?
Well, I'll leave you both to it.
So, you've just taken my living room and made it your office.
That's right. Won't you sit down, please?
Thank you.
Well, how did you get those?
What?
Those burns, right there, between the first two fingers.
It's funny, I never noticed them till now.
Parsons tells me you're a great hunter.
Did you expect me to enter leading a pack of hounds?
I don't know, look rather well. Scarlet coat against a background of books. By the way, do you read them?
Not much. That is, not lately.
Why, your eyes been bothering you?
No.
I understand you don't like to talk about your health.
I do not.
Any reason why?
It's a boring topic.
Yes, I agree. Most people love it, and I make my living by listening to them.
Then I'm afraid I'm wasting your time.
Oh, don't worry. I'll send you a bill.
In that case, I'll only be wasting my money. There's nothing the matter with me. All this fuss over a little fall is beginning to get on my nerves.
Does that light bother you?
No.
Do you use your eyes a great deal?
I generally keep them open, Doctor.
What on earth do you do with yourself here?
Oh, hunting, tennis, golf, shooting, yachting, parties, travel, gossip, all the pleasures of the idle rich. I like it. Anyway, that's my racket. What's yours? Come on. You've cross-examined me. It's only fair to take your own medicine.
High-pressure surgery, wealthy clientele, about 10 days off each summer.
Why do you do it?
Well, because, like you, I've been caught in a roundabout.
What a relief. You're no better than I am.
No, I'm quitting. Clearing out.
Where are you going?
A little town in northern Scotland.
What on earth are you going to do up there?
I'm going to live there and be a country doctor.
In heaven's name, why?
Why? Because I've lost direction in what I really wanted to give to medicine.
I thought you were at the top of your profession.
I'm nothing but an efficient and personal machine. So busy doing my job that I never have time to be a physician. I couldn't recognize most of my patients 6 months later, except by the scars.
Why should you want to?
Do you seriously imagine that a doctor's job ends on the operating table? Have you any idea of what being a physician means? That light is bothering you.
Why do you keep on insisting that? There's nothing the matter with my eyes.
You're squinting.
I'm not squinting.
There. Now, that's better. Tell me, what did you do yesterday?
I played bridge in the afternoon and went to the theater in the evening.
Other way around, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, I guess it was.
What was the play? Serrano, wasn't it?
Yes, why?
Did you like it?
Oh, my head was aching, so I thought Serrano would never die.
How did you come out at bridge yesterday?
I can't remember.
You lost.
Oh, how can I remember? I play bridge every day.
You've been losing a lot lately, haven't you?
Yes.
Playing badly?
I suppose so.
Forgetting what cards are out and what's been bid? Did Parson say you might go out yesterday?
I'm accustomed to looking after myself, Doctor.
But you did disobey his orders, didn't you?
I've never taken orders from anyone. And as long as I live, I'll never take orders from anyone. And there's something else. I'm well. Absolutely well. I'm young and strong and nothing can touch me. Neither you nor Dr. Parsons can make an invalid out of me.
What are you afraid of? That's why you held certain things back from Dr. Parsons. You were afraid to admit...
That isn't true.
Oh, yes, it is. You didn't tell him that you've been having these headaches for months, but you have. And they've been getting worse lately, until now you're never free of them. And your eyes have been acting queerly, too, until your vision is almost cut in half. That queer, dull feeling in your right arm, you couldn't laugh that off. And I'll tell you how you got those burns. A cigarette. It burnt your fingers, and you never felt it, because your tactile nerves are paralyzed. Your memory's all shot to pieces and you can't concentrate and you're irritable because your nerves are on edge.
It's a lie. I'm well. Oh, why do you bully me like this?
Because I want to help you. And I can't possibly do it unless I can get you to cooperate. Now, give me your right hand, please. Now the left. Now, squeeze. Tight. Yes, good and tight. Thank you. Now, would you mind closing your eyes for a minute? Hold out both your hands with palms upwards. Can you tell me what this is?
It's a cube.
Is it hard or soft?
Hard.
Now, the other hand. What's this?
I'm not quite sure.
And what's this? Turn it over in your fingers. What shape is it?
I can't quite make out.
Now, can you tell me what this is? Finished those x-rays, Eric?
Yes.
A good idea that you brought that portable machine. Thanks for doing x-rays for me. Where's she now?
Having tea in the study. Well, what is it?
Brain tumor. Glioma of the brain.
Where?
In the temporal and parietal lobes. Ah. She has a right visual defect. Well, the plates won't show much, but I think they'll confirm what I say.
Is it operable?
With luck, yes.
Good enough.
But if the plates show that it's diffused, as I think it is...
She'll get a recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And that means?
Oh, about 10 months to a year.
Oh, blast. An invalid?
No, that's the one decent thing about it. She'll probably never know until the last. Then she'll go blind.
Amblyopia?
Mm. Oh. Of course, a blindness will only last for a minute. But that's the signal.
Mm.
There'll only be a few hours after that.
Are you going to tell her?
Would you want her to know?
No.
Then that's the answer. Well, let's have a look at those x-rays. You get them for me, Eric?
Yes, of course.
Looks as if my new life's postponed for a couple of days. Ah, thank you. And give me the lateral, please. Oh, and that doesn't show much. Oh, it does look suspicious. Now the AP. Mm-hmm. There, look here. See that?
Oh.
Notice the difference in density there.
Yeah, that means calcification, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, rotten business doctoring. Why did you have to call me in on this case?
I've brought you some tea, or would you rather have a drink?
No, tea's fine, thank you. Come, sit down, Judith.
I'm sorry I was so childish.
Oh, I like the way you fought back at me. You're a good sport.
If I weren't, Doctor, I'm afraid I wouldn't be much of anything.
Judith, I'm afraid this may come as something of a shock to you, but it's only the idea that's hard to accept, not the thing itself. You see, something's gone wrong in that incredible labyrinth of wires, the brain.
The brain?
Well, the brain's like any other part of the body. Things get out of kilter and have to be adjusted.
Exactly what is this thing?
The technical name is glioma.
Sounds like some kind of plant.
Well, it is rather like a plant, a parasitic one.
What does adjusted mean?
I'm afraid it means an operation.
Well, that's absurd.
Because we've got to face it.
I don't believe it. Are you positive? No. I won't have an operation. I won't let you. It must be pretty serious.
Yes, it is. Very, very serious. And it's going to take our combined efforts to beat this thing. I shall need all the help you can give me. I must have your complete faith.
I'm afraid faith isn't my long suit.
From now on, it's going to be. And in return, I'll give you all the skill at my command. Your job is to trust me.
I do trust you.
I hoped you would. When can you be ready?
I'm in your hands, Doctor.
Well, we can't operate for a couple of days, but I'm going to take you to the hospital this afternoon. I need some further x-rays, and I want you to get all the rest you can. I'll call for you, let's say, 3:00.
How long will I have to be in hospital?
Oh, about 6 weeks.
And will you let me ride as soon as I get out?
Well, I think we'll put that off a little longer. Suppose we talk over that later.
Well, why not now?
Well, our first job is to bring you through the operation and start you on the road to recovery.
It's beginning to sound like a long road. Afterwards, will I be able to live a completely normal life?
Yes. Well, of course, it'll take some time for you to get your strength back.
Will this operation absolutely cure me?
I think I can guarantee that you will make a complete surgical recovery.
A complete surgical recovery? What does that mean?
Well, it means that you'll get well. No worries now?
None. I just wanted to be sure I knew the truth, that you weren't keeping anything back from me. I do now. You see, I trust you.
Thank you.
darling. Have you been here long?
Hours.
Oh, terribly sorry.
You look it.
Oh, Alden, it's been a gorgeous day. Fruit blossoms all out, horse chestnuts, tulips. All the time went so quickly.
And how was the ride? Oh,
I was nervous at first. I couldn't forget the day I crashed the fence. But then I put my mare to a hedge, and we cleared it beautifully. And the fields ahead were clear and green, and I was free.
I'm very pleased with you.
Me? Why?
You're such a decided improvement over your old self.
Am I?
They did more than give you a new brain. They gave you a new disposition as well. Now, darling, I need your help. I want you for dinner at 8 tonight to seduce my publisher. He's being nasty about my book. He says the public's no longer interested in sex.
What?
The truth is, he's 48 and a little jaded, and he needs to meet someone who's alluring and dangerous, which is you. There'll be quantities of the best champagne, and I'm not going to be refused.
Alden, I can't.
So he's coming for dinner, your doctor.
How did you know?
I'm a novelist, darling. Besides, I've been snooping. Well, you'll just have to put him off for the day.
Oh, he's leaving for Scotland tomorrow. But he may not get here till after dinner. He said he...
You wanted to see me, Miss Treherne.
Oh, yes, Michael. I don't like the way Red Queen behaved.
Well, she hasn't been ridden enough.
She's been handled roughly. She's not used to that.
Why, that mare's no more than a filly, and she's a natural cut-up. I put a curb on her just to let her know it was there.
You ought to know better. Her moth's too sensitive.
Well, don't I know? It's like velvet. I handled her as light on that curb as you would on a snaffle. But she needed a lesson, and I gave it to her.
You'll not do that again.
Sorry, Miss Treherne, but you'd better leave the hand and the horses to me. I'm in charge of the stables. A month from now, and you don't like the way things was going, you can fire me.
Believe me,
You'll not be firing me, Miss Judith, no. You and me are going to get on well together.
Hasn't much confidence, has he? The worst of it is, I know he's right.
If I were a horse, I'd recognize that in his eye, which I would call master.
Mm.
Oh, if only I had him for a publisher. He's a handsome fellow, too. Oh, by the way, darling, there's a telegram for you.
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
Well, because I knew it was bad news for me.
Oh, Alden. Alden, he's coming any minute. Oh, you'll be started for not giving it to me at once.
You've been pretty hard hit, haven't you?
Alden. Alden, I... Nothing like this has ever happened to me before.
I think, my darling, that this time it's the real thing.
Oh, it is, Alden. I know it. I do love him so.
And he? That's always the first question.
I don't know.
Well, you should know. You've had enough men in love with you.
Well, they haven't helped me understand him. He's a strange person, Alden. He's so hard to see into. Oh, he's conscious of me, I'm sure of that.
That sounds a trifle like understatement to me.
It may be much more, but I don't know. He may be in love with me, Alden. I don't know whether he even admits his emotions to himself. He does like being with me, that I know. Oh, we've talked endlessly. He's given me hours of his time. He could have left a few days after the operation, but he stayed on. Oh, Alden, I do want him.
What about Scotland?
I'm afraid Scotland and I won't understand each other very well.
What's sending him there?
His work in London was too impersonal. That's what he says. Of course, there's a deeper reason, too. He's never been able to adjust himself to the city. He feels out of place. That's why he's lived so much within himself. Have you noticed, Alden? He hardly ever smiles. Oh, heavens! Oh, there he is now! Oh, Alden, do I look all right?
Super! Well, my pet, get him if you can. And my blessings. Only remember that when an irresistible force collides with an immovable object, it's, well, there's hell to pay.
I hope I'm not too late for tea.
Ah, Dr. Steele, I've just been waiting to say hello to you.
I'm glad to see you again.
Oh, that's a compliment coming from you. Well, goodbye, darling. Oh, incidentally, Doctor, you'll get a wonderful view of Judith's brain tonight when you see her in that new dress. Bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hello. You look fit. How have you been?
Splendid.
Yeah, let's have a look at you. No headache?
None. You haven't been near me for 3 days.
Sleeping well?
Beautifully. Have you been busy?
Very. Appetite good?
Marvelous. All things according to Hoyle.
Good. Now stand with both feet together. Close your eyes. Right, how's the balance?
Perfect. You see, I know all the answers.
Patient dismissed.
So you're off tomorrow?
Unless the heavens fall.
I've no luck with heaven.
I'm already 2 months late, Judith.
I didn't realize until Dr. Parsons told me that you'd given up all your plans for me. How can I ever thank you?
Well, just seeing you as you stand there has repaid me 1,000 times for anything I've done.
I think that's the nicest thing anyone ever said to me. Are you so generous to all your patients?
Judith, you know what I mean.
Perhaps I do. Perhaps I don't.
Then let me say that I care enough that I'll come to you halfway across the earth, whenever you call me. Is that better?
You sound awfully serious.
It was a serious speech.
It had such finality. So, you're really going to be an old-fashioned country doctor?
Hideously old-fashioned.
You'll get down here occasionally?
Well, not often. I expect they'll keep me pretty busy.
I expect so, and you'll have no regrets. Not one.
There are always regrets. Do you remember the drive we took the morning of the operation?
The world was very simple and clear that morning, in spite of what I knew was in store for me.
I think because of it, Judith. It's apt to be that when you know exactly what you're facing and you aren't afraid.
People don't show fear in front of you, Fred.
It was a challenge and you accepted it with perfect courage.
Oh, I was glad you were beside me.
If you knew I'd always be beside you, do you think you'd ever be afraid of anything?
Oh, Fred, we're getting into deep water. Before it's too late, I've got to make you understand. You're a very great person. I'm not. I'm shallow.
I know that isn't true. I once asked you for something very important. Your complete faith. Have I still got it?
You still have it.
Judith, I want more than that now. I want your love.
Oh, Fred. I wanted you to say that for so long. Oh, my darling.
Well, I've never felt anything like this before. I never thought it could happen to me. I know that without you, I'm incomplete.
Do you really think I can make you happy?
Darling, you never know how much.
Are you sure?
I'm sure only of my love for you.
Oh, darling. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I suppose you'll want me to entertain all your grateful patients.
All of them.
And pay the bills on time, and run the house on a budget.
No, Miss Jenny will see to that.
Oh, I'd forgotten about her. Your housekeeper, the one who taught you at school.
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, Fred, I'm going to love it. Every minute of it. And we'll have a garden. Mm-hmm. And I promise you I'll make your home beautiful for you. And babies. We'll have 2 boys and a girl. What's the matter?
Nothing, dear.
There is, darling. I can see it. What are you afraid of?
What is there to be afraid of if we are together?
That strange, solemn note whenever we talk about my future. What are you trying to keep from me?
Nothing.
I get a strange feeling sometimes. Ever since the first day in this room, I felt that you were keeping something from me. I've sensed it 100 times.
Nonsense.
No, it's not. All those carefully guarded, complete surgical recovery, and I'll come to you halfway across the earth whenever you call me. Fred, I'm going to ask you a very simple question, and I want you to answer it. Is there anything wrong with me?
I've told you, Judith. You may do anything you want now.
Oh, that won't do. I shan't let you evade this time. What is it? Don't lie, Fred. I'm asking for the truth.
Judith, I'd hope with all my soul that this wouldn't happen. But it has, so we'll face it. And we can now, can't we? There are some things that surgery can't do. I shan't be technical, but when I took that thing out of your head, there was a tiny part of it that couldn't be reached. It's what we call an infiltration.
So you didn't get it all out?
No.
Then the operation didn't cure me?
It did. This thing isn't going to harm you at the moment. You see for yourself you're perfectly well.
For the moment?
In time, it will grow.
Does that mean another operation? No? You mean that wouldn't do any good? Will I have to face those headaches and that costly confusion all over again?
No, darling, you won't. It's all behind you. I promise you that. There'll be no suffering, no invalidism of any kind.
But how will it happen?
As quietly as going to sleep.
You say I'll be perfectly well up to the last.
As well as you are at this moment.
Then how will I know? I want to know if I'll have any warning. Some chance to be ready.
There will be a moment when you won't be able to see as usual. That's all.
You mean I'll go blind?
Just for a moment. Then you'll be perfectly all right again. But after a few hours, two or three, you'll go to sleep.
I see. How much time have I? How long have I been before the end? Go on. Tell me how long. 5 years? 1 year? 6 months?
Possibly more. One can't be certain. 6, 10 months, eh?
You knew this all along. From the very first.
Yes.
And you're offering to marry me and take me to Fellsborough. That's very chivalrous of you, Fred, but I can't. I couldn't get used to this thing in 6 months. I couldn't stand it. I'll stay here with what I know, where I can forget. Oh, that's all I want now, just to forget and then be forgotten.
You're coming with me to Fellsborough as my wife.
I'm staying right here, and I'm going to live so fast and so hard that I won't be able to think.
And where will that lead
to? Where all roads lead in 6 months. Only I haven't time to go exploring. I'll stick to the only life I know.
But we love each other.
Oh, no! You fooled me for a minute. Now I understand how you weighed each step, planned each move, even to marrying me. Now I know why you did it. Fred, I want you to know. I'm terribly, terribly grateful.
But darling, I love you.
You're only sorry for me, Fred. It's not your fault. It's the way you made. Go to the islands. And just let me die my own way. If you must think of me, then think of me as your patient. 10 years from now, you can look the case up in your files. Treherne, Judith, age 27. Diagnosis, March 10th. Operation, March 14th. Patient made brilliant recovery. Died 6 months later.
Stop it, Judith.
Oh, Fred. You despise everything I stand for in life. My set, my friends, my world. Well, thank heaven for that world now. My friends will help me forget. Oh, at least they know how to be amusing. And that's all I want. It's good enough for 6 months.
It won't work, Judith.
Oh, he takes away my life and offers me what? Extinction in 6 months. Oh, but don't worry. I'll fill them. I'll cram them full of living. I'm not sweet and generous. I'm a bitter, angry woman and hard. Hard as nails. Well, why do you stand there? Why don't you go? I've turned myself inside out for you. What more do you want?
Sit down, Jane.
This isn't your office now. It's my home and I'll do in it as I like. Go away. I mustn't ever see you again, ever. So, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get ready for a dinner date.
Judy, how long do you think you can go on this way? You've been raising hell for months. You could fill Earl's Court with the people who are angry with you.
Pretty soon I won't be a problem to you, Alden. Pretty soon.
Well, I hope you've been having a better time than you seem to be having. Even in this best of all possible civilizations, women still get annoyed if other women cop their husbands or lovers. I'm not suggesting that you slept with them. Well, I hope not all of them, at any rate.
Shall I send them flowers, Alden?
Judith, are you still eating your heart out about Steele?
Oh, you mean that extraordinary surgeon?
Well, I knew something went wrong there.
Oh, all according to plan. He planned for Scotland. He went to Scotland.
Well, why didn't you go after him?
Scotland's a long way off, and it's cold when you get there.
Well, then, forget him. The way we both feel, we'd better go on a binge tonight.
Stay with me, Alden.
Two neurotic females watching the sun come up? No, thank you.
I can't bear being alone.
Darling, the club's full of lads who'd be glad to take care of that.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Treherne. Josie's out shopping, so I brought you some coffee.
Oh, not for me, thank you, Michael. I've got to fly. I'll phone you later, darling. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Michael. Won't you join me? You've set for two.
Oh, thank you, Miss Judith. It was a grand show this afternoon.
Was it?
And you, the best one in it.
Thank you.
But you've been going too hard, Miss Judith. You've got yourself tired out. And no one can go on as you've been going, riding and swimming and dancing and going day and night. You can't do that and keep on with your jumping horses. The glorious jumping you did at the show this afternoon, you did on your nerves. You had me heart in my mouth a dozen times. That was terrible hard you was driving yourself for a cup you didn't want.
I did want it.
Sure, for the winning of it, but that's all. It's the fighting that counts with you. But you'll win no more cups, Miss Judith, the way he's going. All I can do is to get the horses ready. It's you that does the riding.
Is it hard being a groom, Michael?
At times.
Forget you're a groom, Michael. And talk to me as a man.
This is a terrible road you've been travelling. Forgive me for all I said. I could cut my tongue out.
Oh, dear Michael. It's not so hard to die. I faced that. It's dying without having lived. Come here beside me. Oh, hold me, Michael. Hold me close.
Oh, how I've longed to hold you like this.
Oh, dear Michael. So close. And yet I'm so far away from you. So far away. Oh, forgive me, Michael. Tomorrow I leave you. Tomorrow I'm going away.
No.
Yes. Yes, I must. I know now I must. Oh, but tonight, stay with me. Keep me safe for my journey. Why,
you're late tonight, Dr. Fred.
Oh, I had to stay at the Frasers longer than I expected.
It's after nine.
Yes, I know. Saw the train pull out as I came by the station.
This is the third night you've been late.
From now on, Miss Jenny, I'm at your service, as always.
From now on, Dr. Fred, you're to be home every night for a hot supper.
Oh, Miss Jenny, every time I hear that note in your voice, I'm right back in the schoolroom expecting that inevitable Frederick Steele will remain after school is dismissed. Gives me a chill just to think of it.
Oh, you're tired tonight.
I hadn't thought. Yes, maybe I am.
I don't like your looking so tired.
You haven't changed any, have you?
You have.
I have everything I need now. I'm home and doing what I always wanted to do.
Sometimes I think life here is on a pretty small scale.
Well, that's because you have something to measure it against. The hills.
Perhaps it's just an old woman's fancy. You see, I've never been away very much.
Well, I have. I didn't find life any bigger. Just a lot noisier and more confused, that's all.
There's something haunting you. And you'll never be happy until that ghost is laid.
Ghosts die, Miss Jenny, like anything else.
I wish you were contented, Frederick. But if you stay up here, best put another log on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's none too warm. Well, I'll be away to bed now. Good night, Dr. Fred.
Good night, Miss Jenny. That's all right, Miss Jenny. I'll get it.
Judith.
Yes, Rita. I've come.
Judith, how did you get here?
Walked.
All the way from the station?
There wasn't a taxi.
Here, come, sit by the fire. Tell me, how did you find the house?
I missed it the first time. Then I came back. Oh, Fred, I must talk to you.
No, not tonight. Tomorrow.
I've come to tell you something important, and I've come a long way. You'd better hear me now.
All right. Go on.
Fred, I've done what I said I would.
I thought you would.
Everything. To the last empty boast.
Why do you tell me all this?
Because I couldn't die knowing your bitterness towards me. You mustn't think of me like that. Please don't, darling. Oh, how good it is to call you that. I couldn't bear to have you go on feeling that way forever.
Do you think I found happiness in this empty house? Oh, I should have taken you with me, but never have told you a word.
It wouldn't have worked. I wasn't ready.
Oh, Judith, my Judith, I failed you.
I failed myself. I found that out at last. And so I've come. I won't demand much. Your strength will help me free myself.
I can give you so much more than that.
I don't want more. I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm pretty spent, Fred, inside me.
Oh, I love you, Judith.
A man and a girl have met to love. Oh, Fred, it's too late.
No.
Oh, how can you with what we know?
We're together now.
For a moment.
For always.
Oh, darling, a moment isn't forever.
That's all that lovers ever have. A few perfect hours. I've tried to explain that to you before.
Then I must never interfere with your work. You must promise me that. It must be part of our bargain if we're to be together now.
Oh, darling, you're going to help me. It's through you that I'm going to be the kind of doctor I've always wanted to be. And tonight, it begins for us both.
Are you happy, Mrs. Fred?
Oh, terribly.
Oh, well, a 2 month bride should be.
Oh, please, please. Don't speak of the months. Oh. Hello. Yes. Oh, Dublin is calling Dr. Steele. No, he isn't. I see. Hello. Oh, well, you may be able to reach him at Philsborough 93, but he's probably on his way home now. Yes. But if you can't reach him at 93 and he doesn't get through to you within 5 minutes, call me back and, well, I'll get hold of him somehow. That's right. Oh, an emergency call. Oh, Miss Jenny, they want him to go to Dublin.
Oh, now, don't worry, Mrs. Fred. Even if he had to go, he'd soon be back.
Yes.
You mustn't fret every time he goes out of the house.
Oh, I know. Oh, but I can't help grudging every minute is away. Every second.
Oh, you shouldn't have married a doctor.
Oh, I wish it wouldn't cloud up like this.
What are you talking about?
I don't like it's getting overcast so suddenly. It means a storm.
But the sun's out. I never saw it brighter.
No, but it's getting dimmer. Each second. Look. Oh, curious how I can still feel the heat of it. Why? How dark it's gotten.
Oh, Miss Jenny. Oh, what is it, dear?
Nothing. Nothing. Just a bit dizzy. I'll answer it. Hello? Yes? Oh, you couldn't get him. No, he hasn't come. This is Mrs. Steele speaking. Could I take the message? No. All right. Tell Dr. Platt that I'll get him somehow. Right. Goodbye.
Oh, Mrs. Fred, are you all right?
Oh, I'm all right. I just felt a little faint for a moment. I think I can hear a car. See if it's Fred.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
I'll be right back. I just got to check the roast, then I'll pack Fred's things.
Here, let me do it, Mrs. Fred.
No, you stay here. Tell Fred to call the Dublin operator. Miss Jenny, say nothing to him about anything. Promise.
Promise?
Hello, I'm home.
Oh, hello, Miss Jenny. Where's Judith?
She's just in the kitchen. She'll be right back.
Everything all right?
Of course. Oh, Dublin's been trying to catch you.
Dublin?
Aye, they've called twice.
Oh, who was it?
You're to call the operator at once.
What do they want?
An emergency call.
Oh, right. Hello, Jack. It's Dr. Steele speaking. I was to call the operator at Dublin. Right, I'll wait. It's a different place now with Judith, Miss Jenny.
Oh, aye. It's been such a short time. I can hardly remember what it was like without her.
Can't you? I'm glad you approve my choice of brides.
If ever I had a son, Dr. Fred, I could want no more for him. And she's learning to be a very good cook.
Yes, and just between you and me, hello? Yes, hello, Stephen. Yes, did you want me? Yes. No chance unless you operate. Yes, I've had good results. Well, offhand, I don't know anyone else who has. Yes, I know. Oh, but really, Stephen, there must be someone else. Yes, I see that, but... Well, even so, I don't see why...
Darling,
you
must.
But, darling, it means 3 days.
But you must.
Hold on, Stephen.
Dearest, this is your work, your life. This comes first.
But Judith, someone else can do the operation.
The land is full of great brain specialists, isn't it? All of them better than Frederick Steele?
Darling, you're feeling perfectly well.
What more can you ask? Don't I look perfect?
All right. Stephen, how about transport? Right? Right, I can make that by car if I leave right away. Hello, Stephen. What's the phone number at the hospital? Mount Royal 9000. And your house? Right? Right, tomorrow morning. Fine. Goodbye.
I'll get your bag, darling.
Oh, Miss Jenny, I'm just making a list of places and people and phone numbers and so forth. I'm leaving this here for you, just in case you need it.
Oh, I don't think I'll need it.
Well, one can never tell. I don't see why the devil Platt couldn't get someone in Dublin.
Don't worry, Frederick.
Oh, but if anything goes wrong, in any way, you're to phone me immediately.
I will.
You can reach me at one of the other of those numbers, okay? You'll take good care of her.
Here are your things, Fred.
Well, thank you, darling.
Hasn't it been a perfect day?
Oh, yes, of course it has.
I was going over the books today.
And what did you find?
Certain debts owing my husband that will never be paid.
Not one that you haven't repaid 1,000 times.
Oh, have I really been a good wife?
You idiot.
Oh, I've loved it so. Every minute. Oh, how can I make you understand? Look out there. Somehow it's been like that. Shining and quiet.
Judith, I've left a memorandum there, and now don't lose it. You'll be able to reach me at any time.
I see.
And if anything... Oh, my beloved.
Shh, darling. I walked to the Mill Dam this morning.
I haven't been there lately.
We'll go soon.
The moment I'm back.
There's snow on the evergreens.
Snow everywhere.
Evergreens are wiser than other trees. They stay awake all winter while the others sleep. Oh, Fred... I found out at last.
What?
What the hills do to you. I understand. Oh, darling, you must never leave them. You must go on living here where you can see them. Fred, you must go now.
Yes, yes.
Here's your coat, dear.
No, Judith, I'm not going. I'll call Platt and tell him that...
My darling Fred, remember our bargain.
To be given so, so much. This little time in all my life. And then to have it taken away.
Fred, we've just 1 minute together. Look at me. I was never to fail you or keep you from your best. We've had our love and we're complete. Nothing can hurt us now. What we've had can never be wiped out. That's our victory. Our victory over the dark. And it's a real victory. Because we're not afraid.
Thank you. Thank you, my children.
And you'll never, never. never look back.
Promise. Never.
Oh, hold me close, darling.
I'll hold you in this way. Forever.
Forever is now, isn't it?
Yes. Goodbye, darling.
I'm off, Miss Jenny. Take care of everything.
Goodbye, darling.
In today's edition of Radio Theatre, you heard Dark Victory, written by George Emerson Brewer Jr., adapted for radio by Yolande Dottman, produced by Henry Diffenthal, and starring Maureen Adair, John Simpson, Margaret Milner-Smythe, Tony Wood, and Tim Sutcliffe.